Thanks for listening to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. What impact are the youngest workers having on the workplace? KMOX's Sean Malone met DeAndre Braddox, ombudsperson at St. Louis Community College, at a recent event looking at the region's workforce. He asked about these workers born between 1997 and 2012.
So one of the main takeaways is that Gen Z is searching for purpose-driven work. They want to know that the work that they do matters. And when you think about the context of COVID and the upheaval they saw, you also think about the great resignation post-COVID, where people that were stabling their careers had these existential crises and wanted to jump ship and get into new lines of work or career or whatnot. I think that helped Gen Z to think much differently about the nature of work and the relationship to their employers. And so they want to know that what the work they do matters. And so they don't just want to be a worker bee that's in this transactional relationship of I do work, you pay me, but they want to know their work matters in the bigger context of community and the global society that they live in.
I thought one of the interesting takeaways is that only 6% want to pursue a leadership position. Do you have any more context behind that of what contributes to that mindset?
Yeah, so when you break it down and you actually look at some of the other data points, and for instance, when you know that Gen Z they believe that managers, one of their primary responsibilities is to nurture them, mentor them, and support their work-life balance, but yet when you talk to managers,
that's
what they expect. But then whenever you talk to managers, and only 13% of their time is developing employees, and then a third of those same managers also say that they don't have the skills to be people leaders, they weren't trained to do so, then I think what you see is you have Gen Z feeling as though they've been failed by managers. Thus, what would be the aspiration or the desire to become part of the problem that they're observing?
And so I think it'd be fixing the problem.
Well,
is that the 6%?
But I don't know that there's that hope that they have yet, because they're not seeing examples of what they need, their needs being met. And I think the more that we can realign the workplace to meet the needs of Gen Z, the more pipelines you create to leadership and the more aspirations for obtaining those leadership positions will increase.
How much of that could be contributed to just the age of Gen Z? Like I said, even the oldest surprising me at 28, but a lot of them are on the younger side. Maybe could some of it just be they don't feel like they have the experience or the age and wisdom to be in a leadership role where they might be in charge of people that are quite older than them?
Absolutely. I definitely think that's fair. And so over time, we'll have to see if that kind of characteristic sticks to this generation. But for the time being, though they may not be aspiring for leadership positions, it doesn't mean they lack ambition. So they are upskilling, they are working on professional development at least 2 to 3 times a week, the vast majority of them, it's about 70%. And so they'll have the skills, I believe, to be people leaders. I think what we have to do is just give them better examples of what people leaders can be in order to move them into those positions as they acquire more skills and more experience over time.
Employers hiring college graduates, they are hiring Gen Z more often than not at that point, if it's a recent college grad. What advice would you give to an employer to, I guess, better fit what Gen Z is looking for out of an experience such as working for that company?
Yeah, so I think first it has to start with employers better understanding Gen Z and what they want and what they're seeking. So as you're interviewing Gen Z, it needs to be a two-way street. All interviews are a two-way street. You're interviewing the employee, but the employee is also, potential employees, interviewing you and deciding if it's the right fit for them. And so part of this is trying to figure out if there's value in listening to those Gen Z members and adapting your workplace accordingly. And so, and sometimes it's just training your environment. So explaining that work-life balance doesn't have to look one way, that this is how our organization provides that to you versus maybe another organization. And so, I think it's really important that we focus on the purpose. What is the value add of that workplace as you have Gen Zers interviewing you and considering your employment opportunities? What does that mean for them in this bigger context of community in terms of value add?
It was one of the funnier parts of your presentation, but what is the Gen Z stare?
Oh, the Gen Z stare. It's this blank, expressionless look that you get from Gen Z when asked a question or in a social interaction. And so it's this phenomenon. It's big on TikTok. And there's different, we ascribe different reasons behind it. So one being that because of COVID, they struggle with interpersonal communication and interactions. And then on the other side, it's that they're so authentic that they don't want to just give you a fake response. If they're not engaged, they want you to kind of know they're not engaged, and that's the response you're going to get.
It's not all bad.
It's not all bad, no. It depends on your perspective and how you look at it.
Anything else I didn't ask you about that you think people should know?
That Gen Z, they're catching a lot of heat. They have a bad rap right now. But at the same time, if we can understand what they're wanting, and it doesn't mean that we have to give them everything that they're asking for in terms of the manner in which they want it, but big picture, you know? So one of the news articles was ping pongs and naps. But that doesn't mean that they need that per se. What I hear is we want mental health and well-being to be centered in the workplace. And so then it's incumbent upon workplaces to then figure out, okay, how do we meet that need but still align with our budget and kind of the focus of our work?
That is Sean Malone and DeAndre Braddock, ombudsperson at St. Louis Community College.